standing at the station and I'm waiting on my train to come. Well, I'm standing at the station and I'm waiting on my train to come. I can't stand around all day, you know I gotta run.
Hello, I'm Todd DeFeo, publisher and editor of railfanning.org. In the last podcast, I spoke with Dunedin Railway's driver, Bradley. We talked about the fantastic Tyree Gorge excursion train. In case I didn't say it enough, it's a journey every visitor to New Zealand should take. I wanted to present the second part of our conversation. In this portion, we go deep on locomotives, history, and of course, the scenery. I hope you enjoy.
You mentioned the locomotives. They're pretty unique as well. Are they Japanese made, if I'm remembering correctly?
Yeah, that's correct. Made in Japan by Mitsubishi in the 60s there, various times in the 60s. They have a sort of a different bogey design, and they're very gentle on the track. I think it's got a bow wheel arrangement. I'm sure there'll be some people that know what that means. But it's not a rigid frame, so the bogies turn with the track, which is really nice on our sort of aging track and the tight curves. And it's they're definitely not big horsepower anymore, and they never really were, but they're perfect for what we do. We're not running massive freight trains and that kind of thing. They're almost purpose built for what we want them for.
I was going to say, I guess they would have to be, because again, just running through that terrain, I would think would probably not every locomotive could necessarily handle that, or you'd want to make sure that you have ones that are good. You mentioned about the track too. That's incredibly important. You don't want to put something on there that's going to tear up the track, and then you'll have to get out of the engine and put your track worker hat on.
Yeah, exactly. And we are lucky that the track is in really good condition. The good locos just aid with it. The other problem we actually face is that not a lot of locos fit up there. There's only maybe five or six different types here in New Zealand. That number's wrong, but I can't think off the top of my head how many, but that actually fit through the tunnels. So there's a certain amount of steam engines that do fit, and DJs, which we run, and there's another different type of classes that fit. But yeah, that's the biggest problem, is nothing really can get up there.
I didn't really think about that. Those were definitely some tight tunnels, though, and I didn't really...
Oh, yeah.
Are the cars, do they have to be special as well?
Yep. There's only different classes, certain classes of carriages that fit through the tunnels, like obviously the ones we run. And there's another couple of types, but sort of the other ones that run around the country, they might get through, but they wouldn't be that healthy on the other side.
They'll get through once. You wouldn't want to do it multiple
times. Yeah. It's a one-way trip at that point.
I love that whole redemption story. You mentioned about the redemption story about Dunedin Railways coming back. I think that's a great way to characterize it. Maybe before I hit record on this, I was saying anybody who's going to New Zealand, of all the things you can do, to me, Dunedin Railways has to be near the top of the list. And I don't even mean just for train folks. I mean, obviously trained folks will be over the moon taking that excursion, but I think anybody who wants to just appreciate the scenery, because it's really gets you away from the cities. And then we love exploring the cities in New Zealand as well, but when you get out into anywhere you can see the landscape, I think really shows just how special New Zealand is.
Oh, for sure. And I think the trip is not just for people that like trains. Obviously, if you like trains, it's 100% up your alley, but it's got something for everyone, I feel like. Even when kids come on board, there can be kids' packs if they're not interested in the scenery. I remember when I was about 7 years old, if it was a scenic trip we went on, I was be like, oh, don't we do something? But, like, you know, like, so some kids aren't interested in that, but we do kids' trains specific for kids, like the Santa train and that type of thing. And that's an awesome experience for kids, and it's a shorter trip as well. But there's also, I think, trains are such a great way to travel, because if I drive to, say, Christchurch in my car, I'll still look at things, but I'm not fully there. Whereas on a train, you're fully relaxed. Someone else is driving you. You've got commentary. You can go get a drink. You can have lunch. You know, you can go with your friends, and you can just literally focus on looking at the scenery. And I think that's the great thing about our trip, is it is for a scenic trip. We're not necessarily a trip for getting somewhere, although some people do use it as such to connect with the rail trail, things like that. But it is really just a trip for relaxing, looking at scenery, or it's, in a way as well, it's a history lesson.
agree on both points, because we've taken all the Kiwi World journeys that we could, certainly used it to get from Auckland to Wellington, Christchurch up to Picton, and the ferry back to Wellington, did a round trip on the Christchurch to Greymouth run, and those are absolutely stunning themselves as well. But the history piece of it is absolutely right, because I think when you look at the history of New Zealand, railroads were incredibly important to the development and of the transportation network, and being able to traverse the landscape, which in some places is a little unforgiving at times. Some of the engineering that you see throughout, and we talked about it on the Tyree Gorge, but just all of the railroads in general in the country are remarkable. I mean, the viaducts, the tunnel on the trip between Christchurch and Greymouth is incredible. I'm blown away at the railroad landscape in New Zealand and the engineering that goes with it. And I think the Tyree Gorge is probably one of the best places to really appreciate that and see that up close. I think that would be a fair way to characterize it. Let me know if you disagree with that, but I feel like that's a fair way to characterize it.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think that's why the community of Dunedin and even places around New Zealand, I think they're so invested in it, because I guess everyone almost feels like it's, like I said before, everyone has a memory of when they were a kid of going on the train. And I think when it disappeared, it really showed people, this is a part of Dunedin. And you mentioned the railway station before. The railway station is such a big draw card of Dunedin, I think. It's one of the most amazing buildings to look at. And the fact that we have our offices based in there, it's quite cool to say, I work in that building. You know, it's a really stunning thing to look at.
I think if you look at any of the tourism brochures, I could be wrong on this, I'm thinking out loud a little bit. Any of the tourism brochures, though, they will often use the train station, because it is just such an iconic building.
Oh, it is. I even think it comes, even on the, I haven't watched the weather in a while, but even on the news when they go around the cities, they have the cams, it's on the railway station. I could be wrong there, it's been a while. But it brings in so many people. And then they walk through the doors and there's a train there, and you're, oh, that's awesome. You know, we've got flags and stuff for our trips, and, you know, they can come into the office and find out and then jump on the train. Like, I think it's just it's a whole package if you come on the train for the day. You know, the railway station, I think it was completed in 1906. It was designed by a guy called George Troop, who's got another few buildings throughout Dunedin. And I think people who are interested in history, it draws them in as well. But yeah, there's definitely something in it for everyone.
And when you took one of those trips, I think you said you were maybe seven or so when you were on the trip, did you ever think this is what you would be doing, that you'd be able to drive the train and work on the railroad?
Oh, no. The one when I said I was seven, I think it was just any family trip. If there was a scenic view, I was like, didn't really care, as most kids don't. But I think I went on the Tyree Gorge first when I was 13. I was involved with the Heritage Railway at the time, and we just went for a ride on it. And I was lucky enough to know a couple of the people that worked on it, so I got a ride in the engine. And it was really cool, and I thought, man, this is awesome, but I still wanted to be a pilot at this point. I think it wasn't until I turned about 15 and I started getting to drive a couple trains around in the Heritage Railway and stuff, and I thought, oh, man, this could be me. And then as time went on, I thought it might disappear, and it just never did. I got the bug, I suppose. And then, but yeah, when COVID hit, there was definitely a stage where I thought, well, that was good. You know, hopefully that comes back, but I was just so unsure. But honestly, I'm 25 now, and it's hard to believe that I do what I do, like, so early on. So I'm pretty lucky to have that.
I'm absolutely glad that it did come back. I remember reading from afar, and what would that have been? I guess maybe 2022, 2023, when it seemed a little uncertain there for a while, what the future might be for the railway and the Tyree Gorge run. And that would have, we touched on this a little bit, and that just would have been such a loss, certainly for Dunedin. But again, I really think the country as a whole.
Oh, for sure. I think it would have been. And I think, like, it's so nice to talk to people that come up to us, and there is a lot of people that have come over to New Zealand just to come on the train, which I think is pretty impressive, because you get to experience so much of New Zealand in just a short trip. You know, you're not on the highways, you're not in a camper van in a traffic jam, you know. And I think the draw card of the gorge as well is a very large part of it. almost all of it can only be seen by the train.
That's the part I love is the when you're away from the roads and you can really get to, I'd say, backcountry. I don't know. Is that, would that count as qualified as bush maybe when you're out a little bit?
Yeah.
And it seems like there's nothing around. I'm trying to get the verbiage correct.
Yeah. No, like, right. There isn't anything around. Like the Hindon to Pukerangi section above it is farmland. And I think that's also kind of the cool thing. There's something so amazing just out of the city. Like Mosgiel is a wee sort of town just above or below the gorge. And then you kind of weave through the hills and head into the gorge. And it's crazy because there's all this hidden stuff just within 15 minutes after leaving there. And I think that's what amazes people, because as you leave Dunedin, you'll remember it's, you get to go alongside the motorway and that kind of thing. But within 20 minutes after leaving Dunedin, 25 minutes, you're into that scenery. But yeah, it is definitely bush. In a way, there's just nothing around. There's no road access in the upper part. You can get into Hindon by road, and obviously the really lower part of the gorge is by roads. But yeah, for the most part, there is no road access.
I guess perhaps the most important question of all is the view better from, because you've been on the back of the train, you've been in the front of the train. Is the view better from the back or from the front? I imagine probably the front, but you tell me, because you've seen them both.
Well, I'm biased, so I say from the front, but that's just me. But I think I don't know. I would almost say the carriages, because the loco, we see what's coming, and we can look back, but the carriages out the windows, you get such a view of everything. And of course, in the engine, I'm looking at numerous sort of things, and I probably focus more on looking at the track. I do look around, of course, but yeah, in the back, you definitely get a longer view, and you can look back and take photos. And one of the best bits is actually if we have depends which train set, you can stand right out the back, and when there's no engines there, you get the view behind. That's probably the best view.
I think I stood on the what do they call it? I guess it's the platform, you would call it, of the end of the, between the two cars.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, that's a good place. Like if I'm in the back, I like to spend quite a bit of time out there if I'm not working. But yeah, they fill up pretty quick on good days. You know, the other thing is it gets so hot up the gorge, like the weather's really unpredictable up there. Like at the moment, it's probably really windy up there, but it still looks really nice. But in summer, it just gets really, really warm. And so being outside is really nice. We're almost a heritage feel, but we have some modern comfort, so the air conditioning's really good some days. We don't quite have that in the engine, but so sometimes it's nice to jump in the back for a few minutes in the aircon.
Absolutely. And you said you run 5 days a week. Do you run 5 days a week year round? Is there an off season? No.
So we're in our sort of, we're starting to get into our sort of on season. At the moment, like cruise ships are starting to come in and summer tourism and just summer in general starting. Well, it's not really looking like it out the window at the moment, but we're starting to come into our summer. But in winter, we run shorter days and we sort of focus on our maintenance program, like with the, you know, re-sleepering, re-railing. Last winter, we relayed a tunnel, whole tunnel with rebuilt track sets. So we built all the track sets, pulled the old ones out, did a bit of work on the ground in the tunnel, and then laid down the new rail. We also did a job on the Whingatui Viaduct, replacing a big wooden corbel that some of the structure sits on. So we sort of do a lot of our big jobs in winter, so we run a few less trains. But we run sort of special trains occasionally, like we did a Stargazer train. And that was probably one of my best nights of work I've ever done with Tory Gorge. We went up to Hindon in the dark and had, I believe we had someone from NASA. I think she popped in. And we had telescopes set up. We have a local sort of volunteer astronomy group. And everyone got to look at the stars, and we were people explaining which ones they are and that kind of thing. And we had meals on board, and it was amazing.
It's hard to find a good dark setting to be able to do that where there's not a lot of lights, but I imagine when you get up to that part,
that was the best bit. No, yeah. Light pollution.
Yeah,
you know, there's nothing, because obviously Hindon's basically in the middle of nowhere. The only surroundings are farmers and the odd person living there, so there's nothing. And if it's a clear night, it's just unreal.
Absolutely. And you mentioned about the track work. I mean, that seems like a thankless job almost, but I mean, that's the most critical piece of it, because without the foundation of the tracks and the sleepers and the viaducts, there is no Tyree Gorge excursion. I mean, there is no train to be run.
That's right. And I think a lot of the beauty of working at Tyree Gorge as well is the people. So we all have, there's different departments. There's the operations crew. There's the maintenance crew, and then there's the track crew. And we all kind of, some of us bounce between them, like myself and a few others. Some of the drivers are mechanical guys, and, you know, some of the guards do some of the admin work or the maintenance work. But we all know each other, which is really good. I think in the likes of other railways, the track gang is separate. But we'll all have meetings together, or we're all friends with each other. But yeah, the track workers, you are very sort of isolated. You're up. We're based out of Dunedin. We're not based out of the station. And when you're up there, but I think when you're working that place I mentioned, Flat Stream and the Notches, when you're working there for a day with really good people, it's definitely has its own draw cards. And, you know, even passing each other, we obviously pass the track gang. They'll pull their trucks off and clear and the diggers. And I think people find it really intriguing, because they're like, oh, the scenery, and then there's some guys by the side of the track in the middle of nowhere just waving. I think that's quite intriguing to people.
Yeah, it is, and it is. But I mean, that is such a critical piece of it, and I'd imagine.
Never ending. But we're really lucky in a way now with, I guess, technology. In some ways, we've got sensors for weather. Or movement. Our track gets inspected all the time, and twice a year the Kiwi Rail track evaluation car comes up, and it measures everything, the gauge of the track, the cant of the track. It puts pressure on the track, you know, to try and move, and it'll measure everything, and that goes to our track inspector, who he does walking inspections sort of 5K at a time, and then programs in the work, and then the track gang come in behind and do whatever's wrong.
And then you do it all over again. You got to get to
it all over again.
You go back to the beginning, I guess.
Yeah. Well, we're kind of lucky in as well. We're not running freight trains. We're not running heaps of trains. So the rail's not wearing as fast as it would have used to back in the days with all the tonnage up there. So, but there is still plenty of work, and re-sleepering's probably a big ongoing job. Obviously, Kiwi Rail and that kind of thing, they do concrete sleepers. We still use wooden sleepers, and we're still taking out the old Australian hardwoods that would have been in there years and years ago. And hardwood sleepers, they don't look like they weather that well, but I was, a couple of months ago, I had to drill through one, just drilling a new hole to put a screw in. And man, it's probably as solid as the day it went in. Like, I struggled to get through it. So it's quite amazing. It's been in there for so many years, but it's still holding up.
This is fascinating. Anything we didn't touch on, I want to make sure that you know, we hit everything that you wanted to hit. I this is just such a fascinating conversation, and I think it really brings the railroad to life, because it is such an incredible journey.
There's little things about the gorge, you know, that I think there were about seven routes proposed, and the one we run through, the Tyree Gorge, was chosen because it was the most direct and dramatic, and I think that's evident that it is. I think it's just little things like we run, it's a, 57-kilometre one-way trip to Pukerangi. It's 12 tunnels. We have 10 tunnels on the Tyree Gorge line, and then two Kiwi Rail tunnels. I think if anyone's unsure about doing the trip, they just need to Google it, and that'll probably answer the question.
I think you're fair on that. I bought a DVD at some point, and it's a overview of the trip, and it looks stunning, the DVD, and I will say, no disrespect to the DVD, it doesn't do justice to how incredible the journey itself is. And
oh, for sure.
I think some of the best pictures I've ever taken in New Zealand are probably from the Tyree Gorge. And as good as I might think those pictures are, I don't think they do the actual experience justice, because it is a truly one-of-a-kind experience.
Oh, for sure. And I think there's a quote that I read about it, and it says it's a living, ever-changing piece of Otago's history. And I think that sums it up really well.
I think that actually is the perfect encapsulation of it. And
yeah,
it having this conversation today reminds me that I absolutely have to get down there to take it again, because I would imagine every day it looks different, or certainly from one season to another, it would look different.
within days, like, obviously going up there all the time, the blossom trees, you know, one day they're not blossoming, and then the next day something's changed. Like, it's crazy how quickly in spring here things change up there.
It's one of the reasons I love going into botanic gardens. Just for that very reason, because you can go one day, it looks, you know, something's in bloom one day and something isn't in bloom, but then you come back another day and it's in bloom. And then you go one year, it looks one way, and the next year it looks another way. And I would imagine, yeah, it sounds like it's the exact same experience.
Oh, it is. And I think that's why, like, if you came in winter and then come in summer, like, there'd be totally different things. Like, it's relatively the same, but there's all these different things, like the gorse isn't in flower, or when the gorse is in flower, like in, you know, January and February are probably our really dry months. So it looks different there.
So I've been to New Zealand in, let's see, when we've done November, we've done December, we've done March, and I guess late February and early March. We've never hit it in the middle of summer. I guess we've always been either late spring or maybe very late summer, early fall.
Yeah, it's definitely summer's. Like, last summer was pretty average for us here, but definitely some of the ones I had up the gorge pre-COVID were just ridiculous, you know, coming down the hill. And obviously heat and rail can create some slowdowns for us, which can be an issue.
We have that here on our, even our freight railroads and passenger railroads battle that, so I can't imagine.
Well, we're kind of lucky in the way we still have jointed rail. All our railways, every 12.8 meters, we have joints in the rail. So it can still buckle under sort of extreme heat, but it's less likely with the joints because they expand and contract and move and that kind of thing. So we don't have too many issues. We just slow down and when the alert goes off out of precaution. But yeah, we don't have too many issues with that, which is quite good.
I didn't think about the jointed rail. That would make sense.
We still get the noise of the sort of the click of the rails, which is quite cool to some people.
It's quintessential rail.
But, yeah, but yeah, I think people go, oh, why should I, if I visit Dunedin, should I go on the train? I genuinely think if you look at a few photos, that'll convince people it's something for everyone. The scenery's there, and there's different types of scenery. And we also run our Seasider trip. That's completely different again in itself. That's more of a coastal view, but still with the same amazing going through some of the cuttings, how they cut around them, but it's that runs on Kiwi Rail's network, but that's still a great trip, bit of a shorter trip. It also gets off at there's an optional stop off at a brewery, which sort of naturally sells itself.
Wait, what? A brewery? I'm there. I'm in. Yeah. I'll meet you at the brewery.
Yeah, I knew that one would do it. I think a good day for people is to do both. Go up the gorge, have a relaxing morning, and then stop off at the brewery and do what you do at a brewery. It's a sort of local sort of craft beer brewery. It's really good. I've stopped off a couple of times, not working, obviously.
I was going to say.
I think it would unnerve people if I stepped out of the cab and walked down. That's definitely worth a trip.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to do both next time. I was going to say, we're going to have to do both next time. And I'm going to make sure you're going to be driving the train as well. That's going to be my goal for when I'm there next.
I'm quite often there, so you're bound to see me.
Absolutely. Well, this has been fantastic, and I really appreciate your taking time to chat with me.
Yeah, it's been great talking to you. Do you have any more questions about the line or anything, or have we covered it?
I just love hearing about what it's like and your perspective on it, because I think it is just such a... I'm not just saying it. I mean, I really the experience is incredible. We still talk about it as one of our favorite things that we've done in New Zealand. And it really is just, I mean, it's almost, I don't know if otherworldly is the right term for it, but just the entire experience. And of course I'm always going to love it because it's a train. So again, it's probably not fair for me to say,
we've won you over easy there.
Yeah. Right. The train guy, love the train.
Yeah. I would have thought, no, I'm the same. Like I obviously like trains. I'd probably do a different job if I didn't, but it's a whole package deal, and I think what I haven't glossed on is how great the staff are. They're like, it's, I don't know if this is really sad or a good thing, but most of my sort of closest friends are also my workmates, you know, so we all have there's a lot of camaraderie and sort of banter, which I think reflects to the passengers as well. Like, we get a lot of Americans and Australians over who, you know, they want to have a laugh as well. and so we can have a good bit of banter with the passengers. And I think that's a rewarding thing in itself. And it's also talking to, we're all quite talkative, and walking through and hearing people's stories about different trips around the world, or just talking in general, not even necessarily about trains. Sometimes that can be a rewarding time too.
I think that's what makes the experience, right? You've got the views, you've got the history, you're rolling through history, the, you know, engineering element of it. But I think you touched on something that's so important. And the experience in New Zealand is in part the scenery, but it's really interacting with the people, because I think that's what really makes the country, is just the entire feel of the people there, and how much hospitality they show to tourists, and just the ability to connect with them. And so I think that's an important part of it. And when you love where you work.
I think New Zealanders have I think going on the train is a real sort of, I guess, Kiwi experience in a way, because I think New Zealanders all have a sort of particular humor and a way of talking. And like, I've had conversations with, I think I sat down one day with an Australian couple, and then beside them were an American couple, and we all talk differently. And we had about a 30-minute conversation just on how we phrase different things. And that was really funny, because there was a bit of banter with it, and it was quite interesting. Like you'll call things differently to how I would. Or pronounce things, and that was quite funny. And we there was a bit of back and forth throughout the whole trip. I think that's one of the best bits, and that's why I still like working in the back of the train occasionally. I'm mainly in the engine now, but I really enjoy doing the commentary on the train, because you can have a bit of a laugh with it and add a couple of really bad dad jokes. I'm not a dad, but I've already trained for the humor.
It's as important. You mentioned about different words. You mentioned guard. I think we might call them conductors here, but can you talk about the guard role? I want to see if I can...
Oh, the guard's role. We're actually, I believe, changing it to onboard service lead, but a guard is... what would it be? What is a conductor for you?
Here, the conductor is basically in charge of the train. So in a passenger train, they would do everything from, I guess, taking tickets to making sure the doors open at stops.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Because I remember, I think the only knowledge I've got of conductor is on a movie I saw. What was it? Oh, the one where the train runs away with Denzel Washington in it. Unstoppable. That's the one. And the conductor's in the cab, and I found that really weird. I didn't know what that was about. But yeah, the guard is basically the conductor on a passenger train, checks the tickets. They sort of in charge of the safety and the running of the train. The driver really just has the sort of, I guess, overall responsibility of it. But as far as the back goes and other things, that's all on the guard, conductor, dude, or lady. They handle all the passenger sort of comfort, passenger safety. If there was an emergency, they handle the emergency response, check the tickets, deal with anything that comes up. Even shunting, they might do that. But mainly the loco crew tend to handle a lot of the shunting at our end.
Yeah, I was thinking that's what it was. I kind of was always operating under that assumption, because I caught on pretty quickly to sleepers. We tend to call them cross ties, and it is funny, really? How they do the they do the same thing. But you know, if you're not familiar with the sort of the translation, I guess it's not really a translation. It's probably not the right word, but
yeah, I've heard that the railroad vernacular. Ties. I've heard that one, but I think it was in a song.
And then we've got carriages and cars and nothing major. I mean, it is funny.
Basically the same, yeah.
Yeah,
something exactly. That blows my mind. I haven't traveled anywhere out of New Zealand yet, but hoping to get there in the next few years. But the weird thing to me is our gauge of the track is 3'6". So it's very tight, but you look at places like America, what is it? 4'8.5" or something.
4 foot, yeah, 4 feet, 8.5
That's
inches.
That's crazy to me.
Maybe just because I'm not as accustomed to it. I kind of like the 3'6" gauge. It's, I don't know.
One of the other questions we get. Like, a lot of tourists are like, what is the gauge? Like, they're almost looking like, geez, it's so tight. But it's, yeah, because of course for us, it's standard throughout New Zealand. So that's what I mean. The wider gauge is crazy to me. I think in places in Australia might have 3'6" or something like that. But I hope to travel around. I want to go to the UK and that kind of thing and travel around and see some stuff. But that's why I guess for me it's cool meeting tourists in the job, because I haven't traveled. So it's really cool hearing about different places from people that come on the train.
Well, you have to let me know when you make it to the States, and particularly if you're coming to the Southeast, for sure. I can be happy to give, I don't know that I have any great recommendations, but I'm happy to give any recommendations that, that I do have. Yeah,
no, for sure. That's definitely on the list. But if not, we'll have to see you when you come over here.
It
you should come in summer, though. We can do it justice a bit better with the temperature.
Maybe I'll have to actually brave an actual midsummer excursion.
Oh, for sure. It's definitely a bit nicer to be around, and if you feel like going to a beach or something, it's a great trip no matter the season up the Tyree Gorge, but it depends if you want to bring a jacket for Dunedin weather or not.
I hope you enjoyed this conversation, and more importantly, have the chance to take a trip on Dunedin Railways soon. For railfanning.org, I'm Todd DeFeo. Be sure to visit railfanning.org for more news, features, and photos from the rails.